Welcome to San Diego Magazine's Happy Half Hour. This is our fun food and drink focused podcast, and we're thrilled to be taping today up on the pool deck at the Westgate Hotel. Very lovely setting here. Feels just on the cusp of summer.
It is. It's just on the cusp. It's still a little, it's persnickety still. San Diego's been cold all winter.
A little nippy.
It's a little nippy, but it's beautiful. It's sunny. You know, I'm going to take a dip in the pool and my skivvies here in a few.
There's a hot tub that has my name on it.
Yes. Couple people in it right now. Yeah. It's a cool pool deck because it's like on the fourth floor of the hotel. So you're like up kind of in the buildings. You're not looking out and down at everything, but you're not at the sort of street level too. It's a very cool pool deck. We're going to be hearing from Gilbert Castellanos coming up later. He curates a really great series of sort of jazz up here on the pool deck all throughout the summer. We're going to hear about that coming up. But in case you guys haven't listened to our show, we always start with hot plates. We're going to tell you what's opening and closing on the restaurant scene. We have a great special guest this week. The former chef de cuisine from the legendary Antoine's in New Orleans is now a San Diego resident. He is in the kitchen at the new Louisiana Purchase in North Park. His name is Quentin Austin. We're going to be talking with him coming up. Of course, we're counting down our favorite things to eat at Petco Park this summer in honor of the Padres' 50th season here in San Diego. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. We always end our show with two people, $50, our own personal recommendations of what we've been eating and drinking lately. So make sure you listen till the end for that. Wing it.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm Erin with San Diego Magazine. We've got Lauren Wing it here. We have Troy Johnson, our food critic. How's it going? Just back from the desert?
Just back from the desert. I got as dirty as humanly possible. Every photo that I took, I'm like, wow, you look like a mess, a hot mess. It was great. Joshua Tree, Pappy and Harriet's up there. If you want something to eat, you drive 35 minutes up into the hills to this little like rock music venue that just has absolutely zero lights in it.
Yes.
And you can get good ribs and skirt steak. And
How long of a wait?
After about 2.5 hours of waiting, by the time that your meal shows up, you are properly inebriated.
But that 2 hours is prime people watching time, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yes. Every Instagram influencer in the world is out there to take their picture with a shaggy cactus.
AKA my people.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, we have David Martin here who produces this podcast. If you want us to come to your hotel or restaurant or business and podcast from there or sponsor our lovely show, David is the guy that you call. He's also got a 60-second beer review coming up. But we will start with hot plates like we always do. Wing it. Tell us what's new.
Big
news with capital B-I-G is on my run sheet.
Big news. Michelin Guide just announced its Bib Gourmand picks for California, and several San Diego establishments made the list. Restaurants include Campfire, Cucina Sorella, Cucina Urbana, El Jardin, Juniper and Ivy, Kettner Exchange, Lola 55, and Solari. For those that don't know, the Bib Gourmand category highlights the restaurants that serve high-quality meals, which includes two courses and a glass of wine or dessert for $40. Or less.
You know what shocked me on that? Juniper and Ivy for under $40. You can dine in Juniper, but not Ivy. I don't know.
Maybe they just stuck to water?
Yeah, exactly.
And the free bread.
They had some amazing bread. Yeah. The eye ambiance was delicious.
Isn't Campfire quite expensive as well?
Yes.
I don't know.
Isn't
Kettner Exchange kind of like a club? I'm going to big huh here.
It is. So I'm excited that Michelin made it down here. We have been ignored by major media outlets and things like that for years and years and years. And finally, San Diego scene has come up to the point where they're like, oh my God, there's this little place to be south of LA and north of Mexico City that deserves our attention too. this is like Bib Gourmand, so they're like, notable mentions, it's like, okay. Hey, you should check these restaurants out. And I'm glad to see a lot of these places on there. I don't see any sushi restaurants.
It feels real random.
I know.
It feels like all the trendy restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of, but how
but then a
Cucina
couple,
Urbana is 10 years old. And it's a lovely
essential.
Restaurant. But
and then Solari.
Yeah, Cucina Group, the Urban Kitchen Group, Cucina Sorella,
right.
And mm-hmm. Cucina Urbana got
That's
two
a big
mentions.
Nod for them.
Yeah.
I know. I wonder if Tracy paid for their hotel stay. I'm just kidding. We have zero suggestion of any payoff whatsoever.
Not at all. Doesn't it read to you a little like it's a little bit of a random smattering, though? It's sort of mm-hmm. like someone came and did their best to try the places, but. And we've talked about this before on our show. I really think that the geography of our city, it would be a weird and difficult place to parachute into for probably what is a weekend and actually try all the spots. Because
you'd be
traversing hills and valleys and 40 miles away and all this stuff.
What I also appreciate is that they did go vary. We've got Carlsbad, East Village, Liberty Station, Bankers Hill. They really did go everywhere.
Yeah.
They didn't just stick to Lily.
What I'm really surprised in this Bib Gourmand, though, for under $40, that we don't have any of our taco shops represented.
Well, Lola.
You know, Lola 55 is the only one, and that's a brand new one, and it's hip and it's beautiful, and it is. I mean, I named it my best taco shop because I think they hit everything on the head with the design, with the cocktails, with the,
oh,
the chef,
so good.
Everything. You know, the price is fantastic. I mean, but you think about Las Cuatro Milpas, you know, Tacos Goro, you know, there's so many good, Kies Tex Coco down in Chula Vista. I mean, there's so many amazing taco shops here that did not get a nod, and it just means that there's room for the future, right? I mean, they can be added later. I think that they missed the taco culture here a little bit.
I would agree. Okay, what's H Mart?
All right, H Mart is an Asian supermarket chain. They just opened a new location in Kearny Mesa on Balboa Avenue. It's where the old Sports Authority was. The new location has a large food hall with mega chains direct from Korea. The vendors sell everything from deep-fried hot dogs coated in crispy and chewy rice batter to stir-fried cylindrical rice cakes and a spicy sauce and Korean fried chicken. So definitely a fun kind of adventurous
if you've never
global
been to
food
an,
tour.
Yeah, you've never been to an H Mart. Oh, it is it's a magical, wonderful place. I mean,
I gotta go.
This is H Mart is basically, it started in Queens in 1982 as a tiny little bodega on a corner and just serving the Korean populace there. You know, all these specialties, and now they are the number one Asian American grocery store in America. They've got great Korean baked goods, like desserts, and Korean desserts are not necessarily as sweet as American desserts, mm-hmm. which I love. It's that nice sweet spot between, you know, like a little bit of dessert and, oh my God, I have diabetes, you know? So it's a really good, it's a great bakery. They make their own kimchi. Go in there, get their house-made kimchi, let it sit in your refrigerator for 2 weeks to ferment a little bit further, or you can leave it out on your counter overnight. And that'll do the job too. But it's fantastic, really good kimchi. You're going to hear K-pop on the radio and get all kinds of like Korean, you know, specialties like beef bulgogi, that sort of thing that you can't find anywhere else.
Well, and we've got more Korean food news. What's your next hot plate?
Bibigo Kitchen has opened in Fashion Valley. It's Korean barbecue with counter service. Bibigo is a huge global food brand. They are frozen dumplings or at the grocery store. There's this kind of like a new wave of Korean restaurants that are opening in San Diego. Should we have a Korea town? Are we up and coming? Should LA be worried?
You know, we are getting a lot more Korean food, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we only have 1% population of, 1% of our population is Korean. I just think that 40 to 95% of our population is a fan of Korean food.
Yes.
You know, beef bulgogi, this place specializes in bibimbap, which is their rice dish. Fantastic, usually with sauteed vegetables and pork and everything else and sauces over it. But also beef bulgogi. Beef bulgogi is one of the most delicious pieces of meat that you will ever taste in the world. And it's usually like soy sauce, brown sugar, and Asian pear are like the cornerstones of that marinade. It's usually pork or steak marinated in this. It is one of my favorite things on the planet. If you haven't had beef bulgogi, you got to go check it out.
Amazing.
All right. And then Bankers Hill, what do we have
here? Yes, Bankers Hill is getting its first beer tasting room. Pure Project Brewing is opening at the bottom floor of the Park Complex over on 5th. The bar will have 20 taps when it opens later this summer, and you'll be allowed to bring in food from nearby restaurants like Il Dandy, Cucina Urbana, etc.
Bankers Hill.
Yeah.
It's totally
the next frontier.
It is absolutely totally happening. I mean, look, Little Italy is priced out. You know, I mean, it's that neighborhood that nobody can afford to live in anymore. You can't even, you know, you door ding a car and it costs you $25,000.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's really hard to get to if you don't live there.
Right. I mean, you got to get out of South Park to get there. Lauren, yeah.
There's no real way.
No, absolutely not. But I mean, Bankers Hill with Il Dandy opening up, those Michelin-starred Italian chefs that came over to open that. You know, you've already got Cucina Urbana. You just got that new Extraordinary Desserts. There's a lot more coming up there. It's just moving up the hill, which means I think the rebirth of Hillcrest is coming soon too.
Ooh, I hope you're right.
You know, corridor.
That's next.
That was our citadel of gay culture, awesome gay neighborhood that had basically brought good food to San Diego, where they had Afghan food, they had Thai food, they had everything else, and San Diego was in the dark ages of food. And then it went into disrepair for years and years and years, and now the movement is creeping back up the hill.
Do you think Bankers Hill is becoming kind of the new epicenter because there's so much new construction going on?
There's a ton of new construction. And I think there's look, at the end of the day, there's so much in Little Italy that it has to bleed somewhere else. And if you bleed right next to it, you know, that makes more sense. Restaurateurs, I mean, you know, we'll talk to Chef Q here in a little bit too. He knows this. I mean, it's cost so much money to open up a restaurant these days. You know, you can't just put in a couple tables and call it a day. I mean, you're looking at a $1 million build out and everything else. So your rent's got to be a little bit lower, and the rent isn't anything but low in Little Italy. So Bankers Hill is getting the bleed.
Nice. Well, we'll be on the lookout for that project. And more from Bangers Hill.
God,
and
they brought cocktails. And
we've got some.
Look,
Westgate is sending
food.
Up a spread
we
right
got
now.
A
this
pizza.
Is, this is going to be lovely. Yes, we are going to talk more with Gilbert Castellanos, who's curating a great jazz series coming up here at the Westgate. We're going to dive into all of this great food. I do want to remind you that it's the 50th season of Padres baseball in San Diego. Happy anniversary, Padres. We're all big fans. We've had such a great time with the Padres all season long. And as part of their sponsorship, we're counting down the top 50 things to eat at Petco Park. We've divided it into categories, and right now we are in the so local category. So the most local things to eat at Petco, we've got two to recommend this week. One, the first is the Gaglione Brothers garlic fries. That is a classic and a ballpark
favorite. I
will tell
you, I went back to Gaglione Brothers. They've been around for a long time now in San Diego, and I was looking for the best Philly cheesesteaks in town. I was like, you know, this is not going to be the best anymore because so many other places have opened up.
Oh, no, it's good.
Oh, my God, it is good.
And
it
those garlic so fries, I just, those are just amazing. And then the second one is the Carnitas Snack Shack triple threat pork sandwich. Two great local things to eat at Petco Park this summer. Okay, you guys, I forgot to tell you after Hot Plates that there is a Hot Plates column in your San Diego magazines. Make sure you subscribe. Go to sdmag.com/insiders to learn how to become an insider and get a magazine subscription with us. And then go to sandiegomagazine.com because we will put up a post that links to everything that we've been talking about and everything that we will talk about on the show. And now it's time for one of our favorite segments, David's 60-second beer review. Here it comes. And just after that, we've got Chef Q here ready to chat with us.
All right, so this week's 60-second beer review is a brand new beer from Pariah, which they brewed in collaboration with this guy, Brian Beagle. He's known really well for Sore Eye Studs, which does a lot of work for raising money for the San Diego Food Bank. But so every year for his birthday, they've been doing this beer, and this year they did four different reiterations of this beer to finally decide on a hazy IPA. Ding, 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 shocker. San Diego's doing hazy IPAs. But it's super, super good. And what I really liked about this is that it really didn't drink like a hazy. It drank way more smooth and crisp, and it didn't have all that like kind of mouthfeel that you'll get in a lot of them. I definitely got a lot of tropical fruit and lime zest and coconut. But so go check that out at Pariah. Their hazy IPA clocks in at 7.2%. Enjoy.
Cool. Like I said, go to sandiegomagazine.com. You guys, we're going to link to all of this stuff. We are thrilled to be sponsored by the Westgate Hotel today. We're sitting up on the beautiful pool deck. They've sent out such great food. We've got fish tacos and tiny sliders. Troy's got some sort of prosciutto on a flatbread.
He's got four cocktails in front of him, and he's
actually
not sharing.
I don't have prosciutto on a flatbread. I've got prosciutto on my face all over it. Yes. I think it is. I mean, that prosciutto flatbread is fantastic. I would say come on up here. They've got the jazz series. You know, yes. They got the pool. It's a nice little, like, nestled rooftop. You know, you're not all the way at the top of the world where you feel like, you know, you're just kind of in the sky. I mean, you're actually kind of like...
You're amongst the giants,
you know?
It's blocking the wind right now, too, which
and it
feels
does,
nice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's warmer here.
Well, we're taping here at the end of May, so right kicking off the summer season, and we have Gilbert Castellanos to join us to tell us all about all the fun stuff coming up this season here at the Westgate. Let me just, in case, I'm sure everybody listening knows who you are, but I'm going to remind everybody. You are a leading top call jazz musician, band leader, composer, producer, and educator in the San Diego and then also internationally in the international jazz circuit. You're the art director for the annual Sunset Poolside Jazz Series here at the Westgate Hotel, and then you perform every Friday night down in the Plaza Bar. You've played with jazz legends including Dizzy Gillespie, George Benson, Diana Krall, Al Jarreau, Wynton Marsalis, Branford Marsalis, Liza Minnelli, and Natalie Cole, just to name a few. Your night here at the Sunset Poolside Jazz Series is August 29th. Definitely mark that down in your calendars, everyone, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
You are. I mean, you are San Diego's Wynton Marsalis, and I hate to compare you. I mean, you might.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
I mean, you know, in San Diego, I mean, we definitely do have, you know, a jazz history. The Crossroads used to be downtown, you know.
Yeah.
But why, I got to want to ask you, for jazz and, you know, just as a jazz musician, everybody would tell you to go to L.A., you know, go to Chicago, go to New York. Why'd you stay in San Diego?
Well, I would agree with you, but now I think that the place to be is San Diego. We have an incredible music scene here, and I'm not just saying that because I'm involved.
Yeah.
We have a thriving jazz scene. The jazz music is definitely on the map. people in New York and LA know about it. We are no longer in the shadows of Los Angeles. We have so much going on here with obviously the Poolside series here.
Right.
And everything else that's happening in San Diego. Jazz at the Jacobs with the symphony. And now with the younger generations coming up with the Young Lions Jazz Conservatory, we have kids now that are playing at a college level, which is unheard of.
Nice. Yeah, if you guys haven't heard the Young Lions, Panama 66, right? You guys are
yeah,
there?
Yeah, so I'm there with the kids every Wednesday night from 6 to 8. So that's it's all under the umbrella of putting San Diego on the map, and Westgate's a big part of that, because not only do we have the summer series, but we have jazz here on Fridays, and Saturdays.
So tell us about how you curate the jazz series here for the Sunset Poolside thing during the summer. What kind of artists are going to be here? What do you look for? How do you kind of put this program
together?
Well,
that's the hard thing. I love a lot of musicians here in town, so we have 3 months, and it's very difficult to think about who I want to feature. And I there's a lot of people returning, but there's also some new acts that I wanted to introduce the San Diego music scene to.
So it's like picking your kickball team. You know, yeah. You got your friends, but you only have so many spots.
Exactly. And then you got to call the people that are not going to be involved and say, I'm sorry, but next year I'll get you back in the loop. But I'm really, really thrilled about this year's lineup. It's our fifth year, so... Yeah. 5 year anniversary for the Poolside
series. So if you've never
series.
Been, kind of, can you describe an evening? What can people expect up here?
Well, look at this view. You're under the stars, and it's just a gorgeous view. The sound, the acoustics are incredible, believe it or not. We usually set the bands up here facing that direction. Well, you can't really see me pointing. Mm-hmm.
That's right. We're talking radio. We're setting over on the west. We're aiming it towards the hotel in the south.
Right.
Yeah, it is a very glowy sunset. Would you call it upscale? I mean, I guess it's San Diego upscale for the
evening.
It's
upscale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's classy.
Yes.
It's very classy. And it's just a fun night because I see young couples coming out. They're all dressed up, and you know, it's like just it's a beautiful scene.
It's a night. I feel like it's something fresh and different that you don't get every season and every place in San
exactly.
Diego.
And not to pigeonhole jazz, but I mean, this isn't. We're not talking like elevator jazz.
No,
you know? Obviously, you're.
It's a nice eclectic mix of music that we're going to bring to the summer series. I mean, it is jazz, but we also have people like Coral McFarland Tuitt, who's an incredible Latin American singer. Nice. I just love her to death, and I'm glad that she's going to be a part of it again. I think this is her third year returning. We also have Dennis Gittens, who sounds like Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
So that's cool. Going to be, and it's his first time here.
When does he play?
I think he's here in, I'll have to look at the calendar. Dennis is in July.
Oh, June 20th.
June 20th.
Trick question.
June 20th. Thank you. I'm glad you have that in front of you.
Yes. Well, and you just to remind everybody listening, you can go to sandiegomagazine.com and we'll post the whole schedule there for sure.
There you go.
Before we're finished here with you, I want to know what's on your record player at home right now.
I have the Songs of Key of Life, Stevie Wonder.
Oh yeah!
See, that just says a lot about you, right there. If you would enjoy an evening of listening to that, then you should definitely come out to the Sunset Jazz Series, right?
And that's all I listen to is records. I don't own a CD player.
Yeah, you know, and on my Spotify is Kids Bop.
If you enjoy Kids Bop, you can continue listening to the rest of our show. We'll get back to that. Okay, again, you guys, I want to remind you, the Sunset Poolside Jazz Series is here all summer long at the Westgate Hotel. Gilbert is going to be playing on August 29th, so make sure to mark your calendars. And you're going to be back with us next week. We're going to hear more about the Friday night, the Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday night series next week, yes?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you.
And I will see you on the 29th, man.
Please, make it out.
And now we'd like to formally and officially welcome Chef Quentin Austin, also known as Chef Q, of the newly opened Louisiana Purchase in North Park. Thanks so much, Chef, for coming. It's this your new restaurant. It's a Cajun and Creole restaurant. And Troy recently said that the fried chicken is some of the best in the city. You just moved here from New Orleans, where you were Chef de Cuisine at the legendary Antoine's.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me, first of all. I really appreciate it. And yes, Antoine's. Yes.
Yeah, tell us, what was that like?
I mean, you really are, I mean, a Southern kid. You cooked all over the bayou in New Orleans and around that.
I mean, when I say I cooked all over, I mean it started just being young and just wanting to work at different places. So I worked at multiple places throughout my career at the same time, actually, two or three jobs. My thought process was to make sure that not every place was the same. So you could work at, let's say, a pizza place in the morning, and at night work at a fine dining spot. You could work at a mom and pop spot and work at a Chinese restaurant. Also, there's like just multiple things. And I wanted to grasp like everything when it comes to culinary. And that's before I even went to culinary school. So, like, I just wanted to be well-rounded and everything so I could be put in any kitchen with any situation, with any food, and know what I'm doing.
Tell me your kitchen nightmare story then, because not every one of those spots was great. Come on, what's the one that you walked out of, like throwing knives, you know, that sort of thing?
There's a couple of them that I walked out of, I'm going to be honest. a couple of them. In New Orleans, is still old school, really old school. The chefs are old school. You still get a pot thrown at you. You'll still get cursed out.
No, but for real, they'll throw like a hot pot at you.
Oh, man, you'll get pot, dishes. You'll get so many things. Well, especially if you work in the French Quarter. It's a wrap for you. It's a wrap for you.
So did seriously one of your chefs threw a pot at you?
Yeah, I got a pot thrown at me. Oh, I got a pot thrown at me at culinary school, actually.
What did you do to deserve it?
Yeah.
I messed up a bechamel. So I messed up the bechamel up, and the chef got mad, and he threw the pot in my direction. And
have you ever messed one up since?
No, I never messed one up
since. So it works.
Yeah, it do work. I mean, it do work. So. You know, their temperament, it goes crazy. It gets crazy, but, you know, it's all worth it, you know.
Tell me about it. I mean, everybody's, not everybody, but a lot of people should have by now heard about Antoine's. I mean, Antoine's is one of the culinary, like cornerstones of American cuisine. You know, what was it like working there? I mean, with so much history behind you, were you able to cook? Did you have any freedom? Was it a good time?
Yes. So the whole deal with Antoine's is I was brought there. Chef Michael was the chef there. He's been the chef there, I want to say, for 40 years. I was brought there to kind of... for Antoine's to make the curve, to kind of change the culture. Because by time that happened, I kind of had a reputation of like having all these creative ideas and being different. So Antoine's kind of wanted to capitalize on that. So the owners brought me in, and they was like, Ms. Lisa Blunt was like, you know, we really want you to eventually be the next chef. But, you know, Chef Michael didn't want to retire, so it was kind of conflict there. But, you know, I had free range to kind of tweak the menus and do different little things, but I just couldn't do everything I wanted to do, you know, because of Chef Mike, you know, the great Chef Mike, who has just retired now. So,
oh, really?
Congratulations to him.
So we're going to lose you next week? You're going back to...
No, I'm not going back to Antoine. Antoine's is a great place. It's a nightmare, though. I don't think people understand how big and the volume that we do. We probably do an average of 700 people per lunch and about 1,200 people per dinner.
God.
Whoa.
We averaged around $55,000 to $90,000 a day.
Wow.
My God, man.
Yeah. 1,200 dinners a night.
Yeah.
And is it open 7 days?
It's open 7 days a week, all day, every day.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
And people have such an expectation coming in, right? I mean, some people have traveled from far and wide, and this is like the centerpiece of their food vacation.
Yes. The whole thing is you could come in the kitchen, you could come on the line, which...
Oh, really?
You could, which is annoying sometimes, but you could come.
The owners love it. They're like, no, come on back. Oh, you're like, come back. Yeah, here comes a tourist.
You could see how things really work in kitchens.
You're throwing a pot at a diner.
Like I said, Antoine's is in the French Quarter. Like I said, in the French Quarter, like anybody that's familiar with, like anybody that knows any cooks or chefs that works in the French Quarter, French Quarter's fair game. French Quarter's fair game. You got all walks of life that try to be, you know, that's in there cooking. I mean, and just Antoine's alone, you'd be next to an ex-convict, a culinary student, and someone that just wants a check. So it's like everything
and
balled into
sometimes
one.
That's all one person.
Sometimes it is all one person. Sometimes you're very much right. Sometimes it is all one person. So, I mean, it's cool. Like, I like it because it's like character. Everybody has a different personality. It helps you adapt to different situations, and everybody kind of molds together for one purpose.
Okay, so now I want to ask you about that because... San Diego sometimes can get a reputation for being somewhat, how should I say this, bland.
Yeah.
Do you find that here? What's your impression so far of our lovely dining scene, our locals, the regulars, or the people that are coming into the restaurant? Do you find us boring and bland compared to all that color and life that you just described, or is it a welcome change?
There's a couple things that was like kind of like a...
You better watch your answer.
No,
I'm just kidding.
I'm gonna be honest. There's a couple things that was kind of, for one, the culture of cooks. Back home, you could get a cook anywhere. Back home, like, the turnover doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Back home, I could fire a whole kitchen and have a whole new staff by the end of the night.
Really?
They have cooks walking up and down the street. There's cooks everywhere because that's the main... That's one of the main...
That's culture.
Food is like the culinary oil field, offshore, and hospital work. That's like everybody's main thing.
In the South.
Yeah, I mean, right. So, Orleans, yeah, right. So it's like you could get them in. Here, you got cooks that, do I really want to go to work tonight or do I not? Calling off and the whole like California labor laws, you know, kind of works in their favor. They could do a lot of different things and,
not get fired.
So you just got to kind of just, well, deal with it. You
right.
know?
It's
so,
not really a pot throwing kind of culture here.
I mean, it's not. And I could say like Antoine's, we had 144 employees and we'll say about 40 of them were cooks. And the whole time at Antoine's, I don't think anybody called off.
So just a different level of dedication and a different level of sort of acceptances.
In California, it's like, you know what? The chef Q actually looked at me as if he was going to throw a pot. I'm suing. That's it. All right.
I had to talk.
I started a move on campaign.
They had to talk with me when I first came down here. It was like my first time down here. Like I wanted to curse this person out so bad. And it was like, oh, you really can't use those words.
You got
to
be nice.
You can't really say those type of things.
Here are the approved list of emojis you can send this person.
We're such wussies out here. We are really such. I mean,
it's just different. The history of food is different here. Everything is different. The culture of it is different.
The culture is different. But one of the things that drew me here, I can't say, is the uprising. The uprising of San Diego. My first thought was possibly like Los Angeles, like going to Los Angeles. But then when, you know, you do the research on San Diego and how things is kind of coming up and and everybody's trying to get involved with different things, you know, it's like, it's very appealing.
Yeah. So how did you develop a menu that's Southern food, but also acceptable and kind of entry point for San Diegans?
One thing I found out is, for one, there's a lot of Louisiana people here. And for two, everybody down here loves Southern food. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like crazy to me, like everybody here. And it's like, you would think like, you know, because when I first came down here, like, man, it was like taco every day. And I was like, tacos, tacos, tacos. And then they brought me to like all the staples. One thing they told me, like, I have not experienced Little Italy yet, because they wanted me to get everything around Little Italy.
Got
and
it.
Come into Little Italy. So like everything else, like I loved. And then it's like, man, so then when we brought up the concepts, we would talk to people and say, oh, yeah, we're doing this Louisiana, and people's faces lit up, and it's like, oh, Louisiana, oh, man. So you're going to have, first thing, of course, beignets and moufaladas, and like, no moufaladas. And, you know, so it's just,
I'm not opening a deli, man.
Right. So, you know, but everybody, like, they wanted it. So
it's one of the cornerstones of our American heritage of food. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and they're very similar too in a lot of ways, because you're right by a water source, you know, over in New Orleans.
Right, seafood heavy.
Seafood heavy, San Diego seafood heavy. How's the produce compared to out there, man?
Some items is a little bit more expensive, like crawfish, for example, is close to $12 a pound here. Back home is
crawfish
like
is not produce.
$6 a pound. Crawfish is produce to us. So, but when it comes to like that kind of stuff, you know, there's a difference. But everything else is pretty much right where it needs to be.
I guess the question for me, though, I mean, every chef I've known that's come here from a different city is like, holy crap, the growing season and the freshness. I mean, what I can get almost all year round is remarkable compared to other cities.
Yeah, that's one of the bright spots.
Yeah,
that's definitely one of the bright spots. There's a lot of stuff that you could get all year round, which is perfect. You know, it's really perfect when it comes to stuff like that. So I really appreciate that aspect of it. And like, as far as sourcing things, it hasn't really been as difficult as people would think. Like, it's not really that difficult to get certain things, you know, in that.
Like alligator?
Alligator was easy.
Alligator. Really? You just have an alligator guy? You're just, hey, I need some alligator?
For the most part, I think a little bit has to do with I have a guy, but another has to do with just me being a chef over the years in New Orleans. Like, I still got people that will be like, well, if you need it, I'll ship it to you. No problem.
Love that. Yeah. You got connections.
Now that brings us right into that specialty you've got. Mm-hmm. You know, that alligator cheesecake.
Yes.
All right, tell us about this dish.
Wait, what?
Yeah, alligator cheesecake.
It's not a dessert.
It's not a dessert.
No. Okay, I need to hear all about this.
Yes. So, well, first, I got to say, because all the people that's familiar with Giacomo's is going to say, oh, Giacomo's has that, and it's way different than Giacomo's. I'm going to let you know that now. Giacomo's is alligator sausage. That's it. Ours is alligator sirloin and andouille sausage.
Ooh.
Sauteed together with onions, peppers, garlic, bunch of magic, cream cheese, seasoning, herbs, and then we put like smoked gouda and a little bit of other things here and there, and it's all together with a fresh Parmesan buttercrust.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We take
we take
breadcrumbs, Parmesan cheese, melt the butter, bind it together, make the crust, and then we top it with a crawfish cream sauce. So it's very rich, very heavy.
Yeah, it's like mouth Pilates, yes, really. It's just so light, so fluffy. I mean, it is. It really is. The funny thing about this dish is, I mean, it's so rich. It has a ton of calories in it, and you're not going to eat that thing because you're trying to skimp on calories. You're there to actually enjoy yourself.
Right,
and
have a taste of the South.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like a mix between a fondue and a crab cake.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
it hits you
in different areas, and you're like, wow, I didn't expect that. I get that a lot. I didn't expect that. Wow.
Well, I'm definitely going to come in and try Louisiana Purchase very soon. Speaking of over the top, though, our hot topic, I forget who found this. Was it you, Wing It? There's a Taco Bell hotel.
No, Marie was on the
scoop
here.
Marie Tetko. We always have to give Marie a shout out every podcast because she works really hard. She's the food editor at the magazine. She works really hard to help produce the show and get everything in order for us to talk about. And I guess there is a Taco Bell themed hotel room with blankets and pillows that look like tortillas and burritos. This sounds like I'm being punked, and I'm reading this and someone's going to jump out and say, no way.
It's a pop-up in Palm Springs.
And you'll love the fast food restaurant's pop-up hotel in Palm Springs. You can book it for August. It's starting in June. You can book a room in August. This just sounds kookaroo.
Wait, there's
going to
be a salon on site where you can get Taco Bell themed nail art and braids.
That's just, I don't get it. Hey, I guess
Q,
we're talking about it. It gets you pressed.
Chef Q, obviously we talk about the most, the most deep, scientific food news here on the Happy Half Hour. What's your feelings on Taco Bell, man?
My only thing is I personally don't like Taco Bell, but I'm surprised McDonald's didn't beat them to the punch on that one.
Yeah, right?
No, I feel like there's more fodder with a McDonald's pop-up hotel.
You wrap yourself in burritos. Have you seen those like warm, big, like body-sized burritos?
The anxiety blankets?
The anxiety blankets. Everybody's wrapping themselves in massive tortillas.
Weighted blankets.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is basically, look, and you're just going to smell the weed from about, 50 miles down the road and follow that scent into Palm Springs. Stoners, that's who goes. Absolutely, yes. I mean, that is an entire fast food chain built on a very niche industry, which recently got legalized.
There's anything niche about Taco Bell. It does not scream.
Remember
niche
last year during Comic-Con down in Gaslamp? Taco Bell did a fine dining restaurant pop-up. Mm-hmm. So they're doing all these very millennial-esque type of Instagrammable moments.
It sounds like a way to get press, and here they got it.
They don't want you to forget about them.
No. Absolutely. And here we are talking about
you do something absolutely that ridiculous
it.
I'll talk about you. Absolutely. That's the whole reason why you have PR teams. I'm like, okay, that's brilliant.
And
I'm
going to
go sleep in a burrito, tortilla. That's fantastic. I don't even smoke weed, so this does not apply to me, this whole concept.
I'll talk about it, but I'll tell everyone listening, save your money. Don't spend your money on the burrito hotel room. Put it in a bond or something. Don't waste your money.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Chef Q. We all are going to come down and try the restaurant very soon. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you for having me. It's a blessing, so thank you, everybody.
All right, you guys, I want to remind everybody now to please come and join us to see us do this show live. Apparently, that is the thing that you all want to do. We've heard from a lot of you. You want to watch us do the show. We had a really fun time with our insiders at the Padres. They hosted us in a suite, and it was a really fun time having everyone there. It sort of added extra energy to the show, so we've added another live taping. The Happy Half Hour, our whole crew will be at the Epic Beer Garden Waterfront July 8th at 3 o'clock. So this is after the 4th of July holiday. You have a couple days to chill and then come back out to the waterfront. We're going to be sampling the first of three collaboration beers that we've been doing with Epic. The San Diego Magazine team did this crazy best of collaboration with three different breweries in San Diego, so we're going to be sampling them, or we're sampling one. The first one. We collaborated with Epic Fall and Coronado Brewing in celebration of our Best of issue, but we'll be sampling one of those. There's no charge to come down, but we will have discounts for everyone that is an insider. So everybody come and join us.
I'll be there. I'll be a hot mess. Lauren will be there. She'll be really excited about something. Erin will be rolling her eyes. And David will smell like beer.
I'm just excited to see all my fans.
Uh-huh, yeah. Exactly.
So it's so good to connect.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The influencer feeling the influence. Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah,
someone's
going to
do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll have 8x10s. So you hand it out with Lauren Wing It.
All of the signing.
It'll say South Park.
South Park. Where to go in?
We'll get you a sash.
Sash. I'd like that.
It's South Park.
It is. I will say, I do love this spot. It's on the waterfront, kind of between like where Red Sails used to be and Point Loma Seafood. They like redid the path right there. It's a really great place to sit outside. So 3 o'clock, July 8th. Hope to see you all there. And if you're not an insider, if you want to become one, get your discounts, get all your cool freebies and fun perks, sdmag.com/insiders. It's basically $10 a month for some really cool stuff. And now we were just at the end of the show here. We call it Small Bites, $2 people, $50. $2 people, $50 to spend. What we've actually been eating and drinking lately on our own dimes and our own time. Now that should be the tagline.
Yeah.
Own dimes, own time.
That's a good one.
On our own dime and our own time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, should have thought of that 2 years ago. Okay, Troy, where have you been? $2 people, $50.
I recently went back to the Smoking Goat and I hadn't been in there in a long time. And once I opened up One Door North, Smoking Goat is kind of a North Park, South Park institution. Really good chef, Fred, and his wife, Tammy. You know, he cooked over at 910 under Jason Nibb, one of the best chefs in San Diego.
Lovely.
Learned enough to actually do a really good job for a French bistro in San Diego. I think they lost a little bit of composure and focus once they opened up One Door North, and they struggled for a while. I've been in there and was not impressed a couple times. Mm-hmm. And now I really feel like it's back at a really, really good meal there. They've got everything under control. They're now managing both those restaurants. They've kind of figured out the chaos. And I will say, just go for dessert, to be quite honest with you. I mean, you can go for a meal and they'll make a cookie a really good meal, but that goat cheese cheesecake that they make.
Oh, it's divine.
Oh, it is divine. It's been on the menu forever. They give the recipe out anytime you eat there. It is tangy, savory, sweet, berry coulis on top, whipped cream that they make in-house, a goat cheese cheesecake. It's a little more of a savory cheesecake. It's awesome.
Very cute, cozy, mm-hmm. almost romantic date night kind of a place. It's
for
not,
sure.
Yeah, it's and definitely like make a reservation if you want it to be special and important and if you're going with more than a couple people. Okay, how about you wing it?
All right, so I went to Din Tai Fung last week for lunch with my fiancé, and it was delicious. I was ready for it to be not the best dumpling in town. As Troy has called it, not the best dumpling in town. It's the third. But I was blown away. We pulled out the review, and we ate through all of your recommendations. We had
the... Did you get the green beans? Did you get the green beans?
You did A-okay. Okay, we skipped out on the green beans. They were like $14.
And it's the best thing on the whole menu.
Green beans are amazing.
You're not the only person that's told me this, so I realize I've made a fatal flaw and mistake.
It's literally the best thing on the whole menu.
But we had the pork dumplings, we had the soup dumplings, obviously, we had the spicy sesame noodles.
Spicy sesame noodles are fantastic.
So great. Yeah. So great. My fiance's like scooping the bowl. And we're like, the green beans, I don't know, $14 for green beans. No.
Oh, I realize, with those green beans.
Okay,
they're
worth it. So next time I go, I'll get the green beans.
Yeah.
But yeah, we snuck in and got 2 seats at the bar. I'd make a reservation next time. But it's awesome.
The line is still bad.
Oh,
no,
my gosh,
I went the other day. It was 5 minutes.
That's what you said, but she said it's bad.
No, that is a complete lie.
We I swear to God, I went on a Thursday night at 7:15, and I was eating the green beans at 7:28. I'm not kidding.
No,
you found a hole in the matrix.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was 75 minutes.
And then I got that seat.
If you can see Erin Chambers-Smith, she's shimmying right now.
I just shimmied in.
Yeah, no, the lines were long. We did manage to sneak in and get a bar seat before the bar line got big and long, but... yeah, I would definitely go again. It was bomb. And great service.
Yeah, that service is immaculate. It's so crazy. So efficient. But for me, I mean, friendly and knowledgeable, but not like wasn't overwhelming for me, too.
Not
like
sometimes, trying to push you through.
Like, hello, how are you? How are you? Is everything fantastic? Is everything fantastic? Is everything... You're just like, geez, man. I really, you've gone beyond service now, and now you're just annoying. But they're not. They're
grand. It's almost technical, their kind of service, right? It's
absolutely.
Very technically sort of inclined.
It's like mechanical.
They have a pregame chant where they all get together and they do. They do. I swear to God, I saw it. It was crazy. Like, they're so passionate about service. It's like their Olympics every night.
Yeah.
It was great. Okay, my $2 people, $50 is Miguel's. Got a shout out to the old favorites. I love some Miguel's in Point Loma. I went for lunch with Jenner, and it's just lovely. They had a new little card of specials, and I got some kind of spicy achiote spiced fish tacos with like a pineapple slaw and avocado, and it was 2 tacos with rice and beans, and it was $13. They had a skinny margarita, which I got. Jenner got the new Paloma margarita with grapefruit. I mean, it's a perfect $2 people, $50 spot. I love me some Miguel's.
I've seen Jenner. He's very spelled. He doesn't need the skinny margarita.
He just gets the full.
And so are you. You're very spelled. So you don't need it. I don't know why you're doing that. You should have full force.
No, I should. I should be having the skinny. But but I did not have the skinny white sauce. I had the real full white sauce.
No, you can't have the skinny white sauce. That would be,
so
all of San Diego would start caving in underground if you had skinny white sauce. That's a San Diego classic. I mean, it's like cream cheese and sour cream and lard. And I don't know what it is. is. It's just,
and if they don't give you your own bowl of that when you sit down, just say, no, we'll need another bowl of that.
Exactly.
How about you, David? Do you have a $2.50?
I do not, but we do have a listener who called in and left us a voicemail.
Ooh.
Hey, we're getting calls.
Hello, San Diego Magazine. This is Marcella calling from Bankers Hill. My $2.50 goes out to Tribute Pizza in North Park. We love Tribute Pizza because not only is it family friendly, it has great food, their service is amazing, the ambiance is great, and it's just under $50 for my family of three. So what we typically get is their Brussels sprouts. Start out with those. They are fuego. So good. We order off of their happy hour menu, which is available, I think, 4 to 6. Not sure if it's daily. We typically hit them up on Fridays. Love their margarita pizza and tend to add some sort of protein like pepperoni or sausage. Their crust is thin and amazing. My hubby and I each get a beer. And to close out the evening, we order ice cream for the kiddo.
And that's
so
all
that
50
is
bucks.
My two people, that's good. Actually three people, $50. Thank you.
I guess you're right. We do say we don't count the beers. I wonder if she's counting the beers in her $2.50. Typically, we don't.
My hubby and I each get a beer is basically the key to marriage. Yes. There it is. And get the
and
kid
parenthood.
An ice cream.
Yeah.
I will say that ice cream is hands down my favorite ice cream in all of San Diego. So she didn't go into super detail about it, but it's like this amazing vanilla soft serve that they do there.
Olive oil?
And then cover it with the olive oil. And then actually Himalayan sea salt that the dude who owns its dad flies down. Exclusively
Wait,
for
hold
them.
The phone. I love Tribute, and I've never heard of this.
You have
ice
to get it.
Cream.
It's hands down the my favorite thing on the menu.
Oh, it's great. Great rec.
Thank you so much for calling in. That was so fun.
I know. Congratulations to you and your hubby for beering.
Yes, for beering. If you would like to call and leave us your $2.50 or just a question or a message or anything, our number is 619-744-0535. No one's going to answer that phone. It's just a voicemail. But David gets them and knows how to zoom them in here to this podcast. 619-744-0535. We do have an email if you're freaked out by the phone. Happy half hour, all spelled out, at sdmag.com.
So and if you have any questions, too, right? Like, I mean, if like, you know, why do they do this at restaurants? Where can I find good this? Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, those kinds of questions.
We want to help you.
We will research and figure it all out.
How do you pick the best new restaurant?
Right. Exactly.
Right. I know. Gosh, that's out right now. We should have said that at the top of the show. If we should have given Troy, like, a more pillowy place to sit having completed that.
Oh man, 96, I will tell you, that is like, it really is a beautiful mind sort of thing where you just get so deep into details and you have so many names and you're putting one here and then taking it out and putting it there and taking it out. Oh, it's crazy, man.
You're doing a great job. That's out right now in your San Diego magazines. And we are done. You guys, we'll see you next week.
That's it. See ya.
Bye.